fireworks show. We're all desperate to get to the fireworks because it was dark already, and it was running into the late part of the night, and we had to be at a certain place by midnight. And so we were all excited to get to the fireworks, and we're on our way there. And I'm telling you right now, the Lord had a display for us on the way there with the lightning going in the background. And we were all, man, that's awesome. I don't know how much better you can get than just plain old lightning from the Lord. And we get there, and Brother Phil was showing me his, he's like Dick Goddard with his little telephone. He's out there giving us the weather report. And he says, "You got to see this." And I said, "What do you want me to see?" He said, "You got to see this. Hold on a second. You got to see this." And he gave it to me, and I didn't know how to work his phone. It kept not working. I said, "Oh, whatever." And so he brings it back. He said, "You need to see this. Look at this. Look at this." So he finally hit it. The weather was coming down, and I'm just flabbergasted. It split like this. This is Ravenna. It split like this. I'm honest to goodness, I couldn't believe it. The first part of the front went down, the other part of the front went up, and there was nothing over top of Ravenna. And if you watch the weather, if you watch while we were there, that's exactly what it was. There was no clouds above us, but there was clouds everywhere else. So we get over to Fun and Stuff, and a little bit of rain comes. Everybody's panicking. "Oh, man, we're not going to get to ride the go-karts or anything like that." I said, "It'll be all right. Let's just go and see what happens." We get there. The rain completely stops. Never came down on Fun and Stuff at all. And, man, what a great night. I mean, that was neat to see. We really enjoyed that.
When did we get to Fun and Stuff? 3?
We got to Fun and Stuff at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Those kids from 3 to 7, 4, they rode those go-karts.
The go-karts never stopped.
No.
Never stopped. Didn't run out of gas either. I think we need to get a go-kart to drive. 4 hours solid and not running out of gas. The tanks can't be but this big. That was all right. All right, well, take your Bibles this morning. We are going into a new set of lessons.
Amen.
Finally, to lesson 5. We've been in this for about 20 weeks, I think. And we're finally in lesson 5. We're going to be talking about prayer. We may get to this first page, but I want to talk to you a little bit about Matthew chapter 6 and basically how the attitude that we should have in prayer is what I want to talk about this morning. So I tell you what, Brother Mike Freimeyer, could you lead us in prayer this morning for the lesson, please? Please. Amen. If you look in your Bibles in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 1, we're going to read along here a little bit. And I want you to catch the attitude here. And you need to have this attitude while you're praying. A lot of people mess this up. And we need to have this attitude while we're praying. We wonder why our prayers don't get answered. We wonder why doesn't the Lord do something for us when it comes to prayer? And I'm going to tell you, a lot of folks were praying for this youth conference. A lot of folks were praying. And what's amazing is it happened a little bit different. We didn't have that many kids this year. I was a little disappointed in that. We only had about 130 to 140 teenagers. But we had adults that filled the building. Okay, now that was kind of neat for me because I didn't expect that. I expected, you know, I prayed to the Lord, "Lord, please give us the teenagers that we need." And I, at the end of the prayer that I would pray, "Oh, just Lord, give us the ones we can handle. I just want to be able to have the ones we can handle so we can have a quality youth conference, not necessarily quantity." And what's amazing is I've never seen anything like this. At a youth conference, Dr. Gray preached the message that was, it was directed dead set at teenagers, no doubt about it. I mean, he preached on rebellion, and it was phenomenal. You couldn't get a better message for teenagers. Yet the adults were crying in the audience. The adults had tears in their eyes. When the invitation came, whole families were coming up to pray to God. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think I've ever seen that at a youth conference, but I was so excited to see adults get their heart pricked by a message on rebellion. And it was so awesome to see whole families wanting to come forward and say, "Lord, we want to give our lives to you." And I'm telling you, I don't think it was emotional. I really think they meant it. And what was neat is it was prayers that, boy, they got answered. I'm trying to get you to think about something. I wonder if your prayers have ever been answered in a way that you really didn't think they'd be answered, but they were, yet you didn't recognize it. See, like maybe we didn't have 400 teenagers in here, but really the prayers that I prayed, the Lord answered well. He answered them. We had what we could handle, and it was quality. I'm going to tell you, Dr. Gray was filled with the Spirit that night. I'm telling you. And the invitation was also filled with the Spirit. Man, preacher got up here and started giving the invitation. Hearts were moved. Man, it wasn't exactly what I prayed, but the Lord knew exactly what we needed. Amen? So read Matthew chapter 6 with me, verse 1. Take heed. That means listen to this now. You need to take heed to what the Lord's about to tell you. And a lot of folks mess this following part up. Take heed, please listen, that you do not your alms before men. Man, I'm telling you right now, that's one of the greatest things that you can learn as a Christian is to not give in front of people. Don't do it. I know it sounds, well, I need to let people know that I'm giving, it encourages them. No, you need to learn to give to the Lord, not to people. Not so you get your reward here. Let's listen to this. To be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. If I would say, hey, Josh Sells, look at my tithe, man. Look at this. Isn't this great? My reward has just been received.
That's right.
That's it. That's all I've got coming. Because I wanted to say, hey, I'm just going to brag to you on how much I'm giving. Look at how much the Lord has prospered me. You know what you just made that person feel like? The Lord's never prospering them. You see, it works a couple different ways. When you want to talk about giving, don't talk about giving. A lot of people, they want you to know how much they're giving. And I'm excited about giving. I love to give. I am a firm advocate of giving to the Lord. Not so I get back. A lot of people are, you give this and the Lord will give you more back. Don't worry about what the Lord's going to give you back. You worry about giving to the Lord. Worry about whatever the Lord wants you to have, that's what you're going to get. Okay? So the Lord's trying to tell you something here. You need to give by faith, not requiring that anybody gives you any sort of repayment back. When you pay to the Lord, you owe Him. He never owes you.
Amen.
Okay? That's just the first part. Now look, let's go on. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Do you want to have your reward from men, or do you want to get it from God? That's what you need to ask yourself. Do you want men to praise you, or do you want the Lord to reward you? I don't care about the praise of men. I really don't want any of that. But I would love the Lord to be on my side. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Man, that's how secret you need to be when you're giving. You say, what's this got to do with prayer? Just hold on, because it's amazing how this is right in front of prayer. It's amazing how this all, I'm a text guy. I want to see what these verses are talking about. I want to see what the thought is here that the Lord is trying to give us. That's what I always like to read way before and way after the verse I want to use, because I want to know what the Lord's trying to give you. Amen? All right, stick with me now. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. How many would like to have that? The Lord is telling you what to do here. This is not hard. He's telling you how to do things. And when thou prayest, it's amazing that this is right after the giving part. Just listen to what this says. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now listen to this. When you're praying, you're normally asking for something. Okay? If you pray in front of people for the specific purpose of those people hearing how great of a prayer you are, you literally will get nothing that you just prayed for answered. Because the Bible said you've got your reward. You've already earned what you wanted. You got it. When you're praying, Brother Mike, we can say, hey, I desire $100. Let's just say, Lord, it would be great. I need $100. And there's nothing wrong with praying for that. But if you go, Brother Mike, Lord, how great and omnipotent you are, omniscient and glorious one that you are. Such a wonderful Lord you are. I'm coming humbly to ask you for $100. Lord, please send it to me. And you're praying to show off because you want the people around you to think that you're a spiritual giant. You got it. You didn't want the $100. You wanted him to think you were a spiritual giant. You got your reward. Okay? So now you've got one person that thinks you're a spiritual giant, but you didn't get any prayers answered, and God did not even, he's laughing at you. I mean, he's probably not laughing, but understand this. The Lord wants us to do things as unto him, not as unto men. That's the thought he's trying to get to you here. Okay? Now, I want you to listen to me now. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Now, you can go to your closet if you like, but my closet is where my shoes are, okay? What he's trying to tell you here is this. He's trying to say, look, you need to get you by yourself. If you want to get business done with God, get by yourself. If you want to get business done with God, don't worry about other people hearing what you've got to say. Only one person needs to hear what you've got to say. And by the way, the Lord already knows your heart. Amen. The Lord knows what you want. The Holy Spirit groans with utterings that you can't even understand. So really, your thoughts are already conveyed to God, so we really don't need to convey them in front of people. We really need to do our praying in front of God alone. Enter into your closet. You can do that, but what he's trying to tell you is get into a place where you are alone. You should teach your children to pray. You should pray in front of them, and you should let them understand what prayer is. But when it comes time for you to do business with God, don't do business with other people around you. That's what he's trying to tell you. You'll have your reward there. And let me help you. When people pray in church, and I'm not knocking anybody, okay, I'm not. But it's amazing how you'll search for just the right word to use when you're praying in front of people in church. You'll look for something that's more than two syllables. You know, you'll think, oh, I got to get a good word here because these people are hearing me. You know what? I've always said this. The Lord, he made Noah Webster.
Yeah.
Not the dictionary, the person. That person that made the dictionary, God made him. I'm certain that God knows all these words in this dictionary. You would think that God probably knows any words that you would say. So how many think we're going to impress God with our vocabulary? Okay? When you speak to God, don't try to impress him. The Bible talks about him more, and he is an almighty, omniscient Lord. Yes, he is. But the great thing we've got about God is not only is he all those things, he's also your friend. I don't go up to Brian trying to impress him with my vernacular.
Here, Brian. I'm going to give you some astute truths.
The Lord wants you to talk to him. Talk to him. When you're praying, don't be afraid to talk to the Lord. He wants you to. He died for you. He wants you to fellowship with him. You say, well, that's irreverent. It's not irreverent. Trying to impress him is irreverent. You are trying to make a relationship with a holy God. And I know that's hard to grasp, but we've got a great God. And that great God desires you to be close to him. He desires you to be a friend that sticketh closer to a brother. He desires you to be that person that speaks with him and he speaks with you. And that kind of relationship is a relationship we need to get business done with God. Can you say amen this morning at all?
Amen.
I'll be quicker if you do. They have their reward, but when thou prayest. Now look at verse 7. But when we pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. This is not just knocking Catholics, by the way. This is knocking everybody that does that. We did it in the Lutheran church. Every single time we prayed for anything, we prayed this the following prayer you're going to see. That's the one we prayed, okay? And there's nothing necessarily wrong with this prayer, but he's giving us a model. He's giving us a thought. This is how you do things, okay? Let's just go on. But then when we pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. What a great God. He knows what you need. He knows. He wants you to ask. He wants you to speak with him, but he already knows. It's such a great relationship that we have. We need to take advantage more of it. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. The question that they have, and I'm going to tell you, the disciples back in the scriptures there said, Lord, there could have been a million things they could have asked of the Lord at that time. Lord, please teach us to be better. Lord, teach us to cast out demons. Lord, teach us to this. You know what they asked him? Lord, teach us to pray. How do we get things done? How do we get prayer answered? How do we do that? It's very, very simple. You pray and you ask God person to person. Don't worry about everybody else. You petition him. Your prayer attitude will change, and we'll talk about that a little bit more later. But the attitude of prayer is one that will change in your life the closer you get to the Lord. And this is how it changes. I'll just kind of give you a little bit of a precursor. Your attitude, when you start praying for not for everyone, but you start praying for you and the Lord, when you start getting a relationship, an alone time relationship with God, and by the way, the reason that you get an alone time relationship is you don't want people to know how much you pray. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. Don't get up and tell people, I pray 2 hours a day, every day in the morning. That's when I pray. I pray all the time in the morning. That's when I pray. I make a time to pray, and I pray in the morning. Boy, I get 2 hours of prayer, and that's what I do. Don't tell people that. You know why you just told them that? You told them that to make yourself look better to them. That's not the right attitude. That's not the attitude of prayer. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. The Bible says there should never be a time in the day when you can't pray. There should never be a time in the day when you're not thinking about speaking to your Heavenly Father. There's never a time in the day when you can't just stop. I'm talking about driving a car. Why in the world that we have this conception where you've got to be down on your knees with your hand? And yes, there are times when you feel that you need to be that way. But let me tell you, you can pray all the time. No matter what, you can pray. You can talk to your Heavenly Father always. There's never a time you can't talk to Him. It's amazing how we make it so difficult to contact our Heavenly Father. And He lives right here. He's right here. It's not even long distance. But we make it so difficult and so complicated and so structured and so, boy, if I do this, then I'm a great, great Christian. The Lord gave you the ability to pray to Him. It's nothing of your own. Your attitude will change. And then when you get alone with the Lord, your attitude will change in this way. The things that you ask for will change. The things that you ask for will change. I want to show you something real quick. I thought about this for later, but I want to show you. Turn to Psalm 37. We use this verse a lot. We use this verse that we're going to get to a lot, and it's for the wrong reasons. I want to show you something here. Look at verse 1, Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. We fret so much of what we think people can do to us here. I want you to hear that again. We fret a lot about what we fear that people can do to us here. Do you realize there's nothing people can do to you here save the Lord let them? I'm going to tell you right now, the Lord is going to protect you. He's going to provide for you. He's the great provider. He's the almighty God. He will take care of your soul. Don't you panic about that. Josh, what's the worst thing that happens? Somebody shoots you in the head. That's rough. Boom. Whoa. Can you imagine your reaction when you finally get to have your thing? Man, is this real? Come on now, Baptist. You can say, oh, no way, I know heaven's real. But you're going to get up there and you're going to say, wow, this is great. Because we don't even know what it, we have some ideas of what it looks like. But do you really know what transparent gold looks like? I mean, I got a gold ring. I had to buy this one. I wish I could sometimes say, hey, transparent, here it is. You know. But I'm going to tell you, do you really know what that's like? Do you really know what heaven's like? It's going to be awesome. We're going to get there and say, wow, this is great. Look at what this, why should we fret about what people on this earth in the United States of America can do to you? Because the Lord has control of your life, right? He's got control. Yes, some people die. Some bad things happen. Some terrible things happen. It's so hard to live in this earth and so many bad things. And oh man, I can't believe God actually let this happen. I can't believe God did these things. You know what? We can't see the future. We can't see what's going on, but God can. There is one that sees. There is one that knows. Do not fear. God's got control. Do not fear. There's no reason to have fear. There's no reason to have anxiety. That brings torment to your life. And you don't need that kind of torment. You need to pray to God. I'm telling you, you start praying to your Lord, the fear will start to subside because you've got a relationship with the one that's in control. Why do we pray? You need to change your attitude of prayer. Look at what this says. For they shall soon be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass. We want that to be today. Get rid of those evildoers. You want the Lord to come down like Superman and start taking care of all the evildoers. Let me explain something to you. The Lord knows. They'll soon enough, they'll be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. They'll be taken care of. Trust in the Lord. Do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. This economy is so terrible. I don't know how in the world we're going to get dinner tonight. Let me explain something to you. You need a relationship with your Heavenly Father. Because your Heavenly Father says, thou shalt be fed.
Yeah.
thou shalt be taken care of. The Lord's going to take care of you. Why don't you trust in him a little bit? Look what it says. Trust in the Lord and do good. What you're going to do is this. You're going to not trust the Lord, and you're going to start to do bad because you don't trust in him. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Look at the verse 4. This is the one we use. We love to use this for our own gain. Delight thyself also in the Lord. We skip that part and go right to, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. The first part of that verse says this, and this is where your prayer attitude changes when you start to pray by yourself, not trying to get gain from man, not trying to let them see how great of a spiritual giant you are, not bragging to all the people about how great you are and all the things that you've done and all the prayer hours that you've put in. You need to, your attitude will change, and you will start to delight yourself in him. I want you to see that. Delight thyself in him, in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord, and what shall happen? He shall give you the desires of your heart. Why? Because you're delighting in him. It's amazing that we don't really want what the will of the Lord is. We really don't. Lord, I want there to be 400 teenagers in this room for the night of nights. If you don't get what you ask for, how do you feel? Let me tell you something. When I walked over here, and I'm just going to bare myself a little bit to you. When I walked over here and I looked in this room and I saw the first six or seven filled. I saw the first three or four filled. I saw the last three or four filled. And I saw some smattering of kids over here. How do you think I felt? Ooh, man, I was mad. I was mad. And I said, Lord, I don't understand it. I just don't understand it. Lord, we dug the ditches. We prayed. I just don't understand it. Do you see what happened? I lost the delight in the Lord and I got mad in my own heart. And I lost the trust in him. See, when we pray, we talk about, Lord, your will. But did we forget about, Lord, your will when we got over here that day? You better believe we did. See, what happens is this. We pray a prayer, and the reason I brought up, he answers it maybe in a different way. When that happens, you say, oh, Lord, I can't believe you. You're so quick to turn your back on God. I can't believe you did this to us, Lord. I wanted that prayer. I can't believe it didn't happen. Lord, and then you turn your back on God. You get a running away from him. What happens is this. He would love you to come back and say, hey, I answered the prayer. I did my will, and it was perfect, and it fit both what I wanted and what you wanted because you delighted yourself in me back then. You just forgot about that delight when the time came. See, we talk about, well, our prayers don't get answered. Do they? Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you delight yourself in the Lord and you delight yourself in his will, I wonder if your prayers will get answered.
Amen. Yeah.
Lord, bring me $1 million. That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
What would you do with it? If you delight yourself in the Lord, I bet you he'd give you the money. Because if you delight yourself in the Lord, you'd probably use it for his glory.
Amen.
Well, that's no fun, Brother Dave. If I had $1 million, I'd buy myself a house. Well, the Lord already bought himself a house. And that house is you. He bought you with a price. That price is a little bit more than $1 million. And when he bought that house that he wanted to live in, called you, he expected that house to delight in his will because his will was for you to get saved. Boy, you took that one real easy, didn't you? Well, I delight in the will of the Lord. The will of the Lord was for me to save. He didn't want anybody to perish. I grabbed a hold of that one, ran with it, brother. Hey, I grabbed a hold of the will of the Lord there. But then the rest of your life, you care about your will over his.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Your prayer attitude will change if you follow these simple steps. Your prayer attitude will change and you will say, Lord, I want what you want.
Yes.
Because there's nothing better than, let me tell you, Brother Fred, can you see into the future? I'm glad you said no. Oh, I was worried about that for a minute. Can we see into the future?
No.
We can't. I mean, we know what's coming. We know the rapture's coming. Well, that's exciting. And we know the rapture's coming, but we really don't know when. And we see the signs of the times, and boy, it's easy to preach how he could be coming tomorrow, and he could. But we can't see into the future. But there's one that can. And the Lord can see into the future. And you would think that somebody that could see in the future would be somebody we would trust more than somebody that can't see into the future.
Right.
Like, what should I do? Should I trust the word of Coolidge Greer over the word of the Lord?
Right.
Because As much as Brother Coolidge could, maybe he could help me out and answer a prayer for me. He doesn't know, like if I prayed for $1 million, Brother Coolidge could give me the million. I mean, he probably couldn't give me the million, but he could give me $1 million. But Brother Coolidge doesn't know what I'm going to do with the million. And because he doesn't know what would happen with that million, Brother Coolidge would say, here's the money, I could run off and never be part of church again. God knowing this, maybe that's why he hasn't given you $1 million. God doesn't want you to be out of his house, and maybe the prayer that you're looking to get answered, maybe if he answered that prayer, it would take you further away from him. Did you ever think that maybe God has your best interests in mind when he doesn't give you exactly what you think you ought to have? It's amazing in America. We talk about the word need. We talk about the word necessity. We have no idea what need and necessity is here in America. We have no idea. I was talking to, I think it was David Richard I was talking to. I said, you know what? It's amazing. If in America they would take away our electric for 2 days. I wonder how many people would still go to McDonald's drive-thru. You don't get that, right? Think about this for a minute. What do we do to eat? You, almost all of us go somewhere. How many people cook from scratch anymore? Not very many. I'm telling you, not very many. It used to be that there was a thing called flour. It's a white substance that you mix up into stuff. Okay? How often have you used flour? And the ladies are sitting there, I know how to use flour. What are you talking about? Now, when's the last time you used it? See, what's funny, well, I used it Sunday to mix gravy. Yeah, okay. But you probably did it over an electric stove. See, what's amazing is, think about the back in the pioneer. I know I'm getting a little off track here, but I want you to think. The Lord has brought us through an awful lot. The Lord has provided all these things for us, yet our needs start to become, I need to have $100,000. I need to have a really nice car. I need to have this. I need to have that. No, you don't need to have those things. You want to have those things. Start taking your life into the desires of the Lord and work your heart around His desires. Work your heart around His will. I willed that people got saved. I wanted people to get saved here. That was the big thing. When we got together, we prayed. We desired for people's lives to get changed. I'm not talking about just an emotional change for 10 minutes. I'm talking about something that the Lord would instill in their lives that they would take on with them, and they would literally have it for the rest of their entire life. I hope and pray that that happened. But it's amazing. The first prayer that came out of my mouth was a failure for me. Lord, please bring 300 to 400 kids. Whose desire was that? My desire. I'm so thankful that none of you have ever done that. I'm going to tell you right now, our prayer lives are so shallow. They're so shallow. It's so sad that we take this and we'll say, well, hey, if I delight in the Lord, He'll give me the desires of my heart. If you're delighting in the Lord, I believe your heart's desires are going to change. They're not going to be necessarily your desires anymore. They'll be your desires, but your desire will be towards His desire.
Yes, right.
It's really easy to get your prayers answered when you've got the desire of the one that can answer them. Yes. And look what happens here. This is after you delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Look at number 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Mm-hmm. Commit thy way unto the Lord. In other words, what does your way become?
His
way. So your desire became His desire. Your way becomes His way. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. If your way is committed unto Him, what's going to happen? Your way is going to be committed to Him, and He's going to bring your way to pass. Look at the next one. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Why? We have no righteousness of ourselves. Is that right, preacher? We have no right. How come thy righteousness? Who's right? It's His righteousness.
Right.
His righteousness is going to be brought forth.
Right.
How does that happen? I'm telling you right now, you commit your prayers in the Lord. You commit your desires in the Lord. You commit your way in the Lord. People look at you and say, who do you see? You're going to see the Lord through them.
Yes.
Ben, I would love if people knew I was a Christian. I'll never forget the day. Oh, man. You want to get stabbed in the heart. Before I started going to back to church again, man, I was a kid, 18 years old, 17 years old. And a friend of mine came up to me and he says, hey, he says, you need to go to church. And I said, what do you mean I need to go to church? He says, your life's a mess. Thank God for friends like that, by the way. And I said, well, I don't think it's that bad off. He said, look at you. He said, why don't you come to church with me? You need to get saved. That's a lot for a friend to say. I'm so thankful that he told me that. You need to get saved. I looked him right back in the eye and I said, hey, I'm saved. I was. Then he stabbed me. He said, boy, you sure don't look like it. Man, you could have ran a sword through me and it would have been less painful. And I got to thinking at that very day, I said, man, he's right. And it's amazing how my desires were so much toward myself, I didn't even realize the Lord that saved me even existed anymore. You get to that point in your life where you start backing away. You take your way and you turn around and you forget how great God is. Do you know something? I think, and we'll get into this, the second bell is rung, but I want you to see this. The verse 7 says, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. This is talking about something very simple in your life. If you start to pray, as we will learn about in the next couple weeks, if you start to pray this way, your attitude will change so much so that you will see the Lord more real. Then I'm not talking about a feely thing. You'll say, man, you know what? This is the way that I'm supposed to be doing this.
Right.
This is the way I'm supposed to be doing this. I'm all for praying in the morning for 4 hours. Don't misread me. I'm all for that. I'm all for getting the time to go away. I'm all for that. But that's not the attitude you ought to have. The attitude that you ought to have should be, I can pray to him anytime I want. Amen. I don't need permission. I don't need to shout it with a trumpet. I don't need to give great examples. You need to just start talking to your master.
Yes, amen.
And you need to get your desires fashioned after his desires. And it's amazing how much more open the communication line will be, how much more real he'll be, how less you'll turn your back on him because you've always got a communication line open. I'm going to tell you right now, prayer is the most powerful tool we have.
Yes.
It really is. Giving of money is great, but prayer far outshines every means of communication that we have. Everything, every power that you could possibly have, prayer is greater than these. Folks, we need to get wrapped up in this. We need to learn what is the right way. The disciples asked the Lord himself, teach us to pray. We need to learn from the scriptures. Now from the scriptures, not from what I've got to say. Let's back it up with scripture. Let's look right here. What does this say? And let's figure it out in the next few weeks, okay? All right, let's pray. Brother Mark, could you close us in prayer, please?